You would grab your Bible. We are going to read from Matthew 6, chapter 9. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. So Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13, and this is from the ESV. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody out this evening. Appreciate your presence and your willingness to come here to worship God. Hopefully this evening we will not have as many technical problems. My apologies to Matt and Joe this morning. We had a component failure. We're on the backup component, so as long as that holds out, we'll be good. But it is technology, so it'll probably fail. if you're here on Wednesday, I promised you two excellent lessons today. On Sunday, I didn't tell anyone, you know, who was going to be preaching in the morning and the evening. That was a mistake. I'll never do that again. Because I got a lot of people asking me, which one are you preaching, morning or evening? So, but that's fine. But there were two lessons that were excellent already. Steve did the class this morning, which was excellent. Matt did the sermon this morning, which was excellent as well. He did a great job. So we're covered there. So this one might not be excellent, but we're going to talk tonight about truth. And some areas I want to talk about are why people are looking for truth. You know, a lot of people are looking for truth today. They want to find truth, especially in religion. You know, they can't seem to find it. They seem lost. Are we looking for truth? Are we still looking for something? Is something missing for us? You know, on the other side of that, a lot of people think that they know the truth. They think that they know exactly what the truth is. Otherwise, they would seek out a new truth, right? But we have the truth at our fingertips. It's more readily available today than ever in the past. Do we truly believe it, is the question. Do we believe the truth? We're going to look at two things tonight, and one is going to be defining the truth, what is the truth, and applying that truth. So the first one is, what is truth? And we see that in John chapter 18, if you turn over there. And, of course, the Bible app on my phone crashed. John chapter 18 and verse 38. Well, let's actually look at verse 37 there. John 18 verse 37 says, Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And if you think about that, you know, Pilate, he was the governor, right? So for him, being in politics, it's very difficult to find the truth. No one was giving him the truth. Right? People that would come before him would most likely not give him the truth. So he was trying to figure out, what is truth? What does that really mean? How do you find it? Why would it be hard to find the truth? Why would people lie to him? Well, selfishness, right? They want to get ahead, or they want to get out of any trouble that they're in. What about fake news? You know, we've heard that a lot. Why is there fake news? Well, the source is not accurate, is the bottom line. Or at least it wasn't true from their perspective. And that's something interesting to think about. Does the truth change based on our perspective? I would say yes and no. As we get older, certain scriptures that we might read might stick out to us differently. As we get older, things change, our lives change, and certain scriptures might mean something different to us than when we were younger. Did the truth change, actually? No. We changed, right? As we get older, we change and our life changes. The truth doesn't actually change. So let's define the truth. Webster defines the truth as the body of real things, events, and facts. The source of biblical truth, we can see that. We need to find out what is this source. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The source of truth, as it says here, is Jesus. He has the truth. Do we believe things from just any source? Sometimes I think we do. What about Facebook? Do we believe everything that's on Facebook? Please say no. Most of Facebook is people just trolling you, gaslighting, whatever you want to call it. It's normally not the truth. People think that it's fun to deceive other people, to lie to them, to get them to believe something, to start a rumor, right? People think that's fun. But it's not the truth. What is your source for religious truth? Is it the scriptures? Or is it what someone else tells you is the truth? Jesus, as it tells us here, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is the truth. Is that truth reliable? Is the next question we have to ask. Is it a reliable source? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord remains forever. What does that mean? Well, the truth of God is forever. It never changes. Man's truth can change, right? Sometimes something that we think is true might change. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But if man's truth changes, it might be a lie then, right? James 5:12 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why is that so important? Why would that be important to us? It says, so that you may not fall under condemnation. We have to tell the truth. We know that, right? We ourselves must be truthful. If we have to be truthful, then we must seek after truth. We have to find that truth. You know, I once had a boss that I would have to have a report ready for him every week. He wanted to know all of the statistics on something. I know nothing about statistics. But he would have me bring this report together and put a bunch of numbers together. So I'd put these numbers in the computer and it would spit out some numbers and I would present it and say, here you go. And most of the time it was right. But this boss, he was an accountant by trade. So he could do all of the math and all of the numbers and figure that out on a piece of paper before I was done presenting it to him. And occasionally he would say, that number's wrong. Why would it be wrong? I put it in the computer, it has to be right. Computers never fail, right? Now, we saw that this morning. The data was wrong. It wasn't the actual truth. So the question is Scripture reliable? Is that a reliable source of truth? Well, if God is truth, and God and His truth is forever, then yes, the Scriptures have to be reliable then, right? I would say so. The second thing is, where can we find the truth? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us. A lot of people look for truth all over the place. You know, they look for truth in man, in books, in the news. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. The church is a foundation of truth. It conveys the truth. At least it should. That's why you're turning in your Bibles, to verify that I'm telling you the truth. Again, is the news always truth? No. They try to be. But sometimes it's wrong. I read in the news this week, actually, about a story of Elon Musk. He's on trial for, I don't know, a dozen different things right now for his company or his several companies. But one of them is about something that he said in a video. So they want him to come and testify in that trial that, yes, what I said in that video is the truth. It's not faked. It's real. It hasn't been doctored. It's not a fake video. It is me, and I did say that. I don't know how that verifies anything, but that's what they want to do. They're trying to verify the truth. What about science? Does science always have the truth? No, of course not. When I was growing up, the universe was some 4 billion years old. Well, apparently it aged another 10 billion years in a couple of years because now it's about 14 billion years old. Why would that have changed? Well, they thought that they didn't have the right truth. Newsflash, they don't have any of the truth. None of that's real. It's wrong. The earth is not, and the universe is not, billions and billions of years old. We know that. But the source was wrong. They thought they had the truth. What's going to happen when we get to Mars? We've got all these things that we think is true about Mars, right? They're going to get there and say, well, it wasn't actually the way it is. That wasn't actually the truth. It changes, right? As we discover new things, science changes. That's the nature of science. So how narrow is the truth of God? We know that science truth is not very narrow. Let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 13 is very interesting here. John 16 verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit bringing the truth to the apostles, right? He's going to guide them into all truth. So it also tells us that he's going to bring that truth and not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Where would the Holy Spirit hear truth from? God, right? Has to be. So that means that this truth is coming from God. That's very specific. If you think about math, math is very specific, right? Math has a very narrow truth. 2 + 2 = 4, right? Yeah. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. That's outside of the truth of math. Going back to science, water is made up of H2O, right? If you change that, you get something different. If you change any of those elements, you get a different substance. It's a very narrow truth. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 here says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Literally telling us here that the way to heaven is very narrow. The truth that leads us to heaven is very narrow, very specific. The wide gate that's easy is very broad. There's a lot of ways to get through that wide gate. But there's only one way to get through the narrow gate. It's a very specific truth. When you're in your car, and I think I've brought this up before, but you normally rely on something when you're going somewhere you've never been before. You rely on your GPS, right? To tell you turn here, turn there. Most of us do that. We trust in that GPS. Has your GPS ever been wrong? It happens. For some reason, my GPS wants me to go a different way to work every day. I don't go that way. I don't want to go that way. There's multiple ways that I could get to work. It wants me to go this way. I don't want to go that way. But it keeps telling me that's the fastest route. Not the way I drive. It wants me to go out and around and go a different way. But I know I can get there shorter and quicker if I go this other way. Which way is right? Which way is the truth? We may think we're going the right way. I've been in situations where a GPS has told me to go this way, and that's way wrong. That's not even close. Probably because I typed the address in wrong. But it's led me in the wrong way. I thought I was going in the right way. I ended up somewhere that was not where I wanted to go. I thought I was on the right way, but it was not. The world thinks that it's going in the right way. Most everyone in the world thinks that they are doing the right thing, that they have the truth and they're following it. Is that always the case? No. Many people today are led astray because they're following something other than scriptural truth, something other than Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 6 John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is the truth. He is the way. No one else. No one else can tell us the right way to go. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Peter's sermon here on the day of Pentecost goes through a lot of things. We're just going to pick out a couple verses. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32 says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And verse 36 says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the truth of the gospel. Jesus was crucified. Why? So that we can have remission of our sins. We've heard it 1,000 times, right? Do we really believe it? Does it mean something to us? If you're not a Christian, what do you do with that verse? Jesus was crucified. For us. Do you act on it? If you believe in something, you should act on it, right? That brings us to the next section. Applying the truth. And to apply the truth, we have to be obedient to the truth. In John chapter 8, in verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That truth that we have, it's available to us, can and will set us free. If what? If we're obedient to it. Just knowing the truth doesn't mean you're following and obeying it. You have to do something about it. We can know all the truth in the world. We can know all of the scriptures. But if we don't obey them, it's pointless, right? It frees us from sin. The truth will set you free. Sin that controls us. Sin that holds us hostage. Sin that can ruin our lives. Truth cannot set us free unless we're obedient to it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 20. I have 22 on there, but I want to back up to verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 there says, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Who wants to have an impure soul? Anyone? No, of course not. We want to have a pure soul, right? Why? That gets us into heaven. That's our goal, right? That's what we're striving for. That's our ultimate goal. We can't get there without a pure soul. How do we purify our soul? By obedience to the truth. By being buried in the waters of baptism. That's how we get that pure soul. So So how pure is your soul? Would you say it's 100% pure? 99.9? Maybe less? How about the water you drink? If you go buy a bottle of water, you're going to pay a lot of money for one. But there's different levels of the purity, right? Sometimes you have spring water, distilled water, RO water. There's all kinds of different purities, right? And sometimes it'll say it's 99.99% pure. Which level of pureness in your water are you okay with? Maybe you have well water, and you have to have a whole bunch of filters to filter out your water to make it pure enough for what you'd like. Maybe you have city water, and you still do that. Maybe you're not too worried about it. It tastes okay, right? So it's fine. That's the level of purity that you're comfortable with. What is the level of purity of our soul that we're comfortable with? Because ultimately, we're going to be judged by the truth. The truth that we've been given is going to judge us. John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48 tells us, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." This word, again, where did this word come from? It came from the Father. It came from God. God gave him that word that's going to judge everyone. There's no way around it. We can't get out of that. It's not going to be like if you get pulled over by the police and they say, I think you were speeding there, back there a little bit, right? And you say, no, I wasn't speeding. Or whatever excuse you come up with to say that you were not speeding. That never helps, by the way. Don't even bother. I think a lot of people think that when they get to heaven, they're going to be able to make excuses. Well, I was really busy, and I couldn't do a lot of the things that I know I should have, but I just didn't have the time. I had too much going on in my life. I had a family. I had a job. I had a lot going on. That's not going to matter. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge, and that judge is the truth. That truth is judging us today. And if you found that your life is not what it needs to be, you need to change that. You need to get that soul up to the 100% mark, right? Try to get that as high as you can for 100% purity. That should be our goal. So if you realize that you have sin in your life, don't just ignore it. Don't put it off. Do something about it. Change it. Change it right now. If you've done something privately, then you can repent, pray to God, and He'll be willing to forgive you if you turn away from that sin. If it's something you've done publicly, then you can come forward and we can pray for you and know that you've repented of your sins and that you've turned away from it. and that you're doing what you can to follow the truth. If you've never become a Christian, again, why not? What's holding you back? You know the truth. You have to be obedient to it, though. You have to do something about it. Again, don't ignore that. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'm really busy right now. It's not a good time, or whatever the reason is. You know, some people think that they're not good enough to be a Christian, that they have too much sin in their life to be a Christian. There's too many things wrong that they can't fix right now. They just can't do it. Well, guess what? None of us are worthy. All of us have sinned. We all need forgiveness. There's no reason to put it off. Become a Christian tonight. Do whatever you need to do to make your life right with God as we stand and sing.